Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. Wednesdays, this segment is Stewardship Wednesday, brought to you by Agassi Seed and Supply. And you got the wheat off, the canola is off, and the soybeans are gone. It's time to plant a cover crop. And yeah, you still got time. It's been a pretty good fall. Mark Halverson of Agassi Seed joins us. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mick. How are you doing today?
Pretty darn good. Are you out and about? Where are you at today?
Today, I'm northwest of Crookston, Minnesota.
And who wants what cover crop seed to put in the ground this week?
You know, the guys that got done with their wheat a while ago, they put in some rye or small grains after it with radish and turnip. But now for the guys doing the soybeans, they'll probably, if they're going to put something in, there'll be a winter wheat or rye is pretty common.
So there is a obvious date, cutoff date for certain cover crops. And like you mentioned, we are, is it too late to plant rye, or is that, how late can we go with rye?
No, rye you can dormant seed and because you want it to come up in the spring, but any of the annuals like a radish, turnip, they might grow for a little bit, but now with the frost, it's not worth planting them anymore.
Okay. And winter wheat, has anybody said, oh, I'm going to plant a little winter wheat, it looks good in February, that green field out there. And then they kind of said, well, let's let it grow and make some money off of it. Anybody kind of lets winter wheat continue?
There's some, the majority of the winter wheat we sell is for forage winter wheat, which you can also harvest, you know, for grain, but it's more of something that you're going to hay for cattle.
Okay. Now, the million-dollar question is, we've been promoting cover crops here for a dozen years on Farm Talk. And
yeah, we like you.
Yeah, well, for soil health, for preventing soil erosion. I mean, I think farmers are finally getting the message. Or are they? What is the usage of cover crops? Are we still got a long ways to go, or a lot of people using them?
No, it really seems like people are at least open to trying it, and they hate to see their fields blow away with the wind. So a lot of people are using even just oats or not tilling up the wheat that regrows in those fields. So at least people are doing something. A lot of rye is getting planted in areas that never really used to have it.
And I guess the big question next spring is when do I terminate that rye, or what crop do I put into that rye? Guys with that decision there.
With rye, it totally depends on what they're planting next. Generally, you don't want to plant corn into rye. There's some disease issues there. So a lot of times it'll be soybeans. Some growers are set up to plant directly into the rye. Some will crimp it or spray it out or just work it under. It works real good for a lot of different operations. It just depends on how they put in their crop for next year.
And it is also one of the cheapest, isn't it? Or at least most economical?
It is very economical, yes. You can plant that very, very cheaply. You know, any of the small grains or rye are a nice, cheap option for somebody that just wants some cover. And so we move a ton of those types of products.
Okay, good. I hesitated to use the word cheap, but you said it twice, so I guess it's okay to say
low cost.
Low cost. There we go. Yes, economical, low cost. So,
high quality, low cost.
Yeah. Let's bust a few more stereotypes when it comes to cover crops. When you get out there and drive down the farmstead driveway and start having the conversation with the farmer, what's the biggest resistance they have to a cover crop?
Some are valid and some not so much, but you know, they don't have enough time after their cash crop to get it planted. So there isn't as many options, and we understand that, but there's a lot of people doing interseeding into their corn and even their soybeans, flying products on. So there's definitely options. And then as more programs are available through the county and on the state level, they're definitely trying to get people to give it a try. just because they've seen the benefit to the soil health.
The climate smart agriculture that's coming out of USDA, and then you mentioned the state and county programs. Are farmers utilizing those?
Yeah, they definitely seem to be. And, you know, some are new, so they're learning. So the progressive people are definitely using it, and especially ones that have used cover crops. They're just taking it as, some additional income for doing stuff they've already done. But it seems to be drawing people in, and they're seeing their neighbors do it. So it seems to be growing in popularity, and it's nice because it does make sense, and it's beneficial.
All right. Today you're in the Crookston area. Are there any pockets in eastern North Dakota, northeast, eastern South Dakota, and west central northwest Minnesota where, man, guys have really embraced the use of cover crops? Or are there other areas on the flip side of that coin where, man, you just can't get anybody to start? Are there regional differences?
Yeah, and the further south that you go, it's a lot easier with the longer growing days. There's more options of things you can plant, so they're more open to do it. And then the areas where there's cattle, so as a rotation, you can have some forage cover crops in along with their cash crops. But as you go north, and especially in the Red River Valley where there's sugar beets and some of these real long season crops like corn and soybeans, it's difficult for those guys to find something that really works for the rotation, and they're definitely trying. That's where things like rye is kind of one of the few things that works real well. So
yeah,
so definitely people with cattle seem very open to it, and it seems to pencil financially to do that as well.
Sure. And then you mentioned forage cover crops, but is grazing cover crops also is it gaining in popularity?
That definitely seems to be growing where, you know, if they have a neighbor that has cattle and they don't have it themselves, they'll put in a cover crop and then put an electric fence around and let the neighbor's cattle out on it and get some free fertilizer out there. And it's kind of a win for both parties. So that's kind of neat to see, you know, neighbors working together on something like that. And then it benefits the grower for his soil health, and then it's less hay that the rancher needs to put up.
Yeah, and it doesn't always have to involve cash. It can involve machinery. Your cows can graze on
labor, whatever. There's lots of stuff you can barter for.
Yeah, neighbors are good, and farmers are good at that too. So, way to go.
Oh yes, they'll work something out.
Now, back in the 2005 to 2010, when cover crops were first starting to be utilized widespread, we're talking brassicas, the ones that broke up the soil texture, the radishes and all those with the big, long taproot. Don't hear much about them anymore. Are farmers still using brassicas?
Yeah, definitely, especially after wheat. It seems like brassica and a small grain is a go-to easy button for a lot of growers. So they'll put radish and turnip with oat or a barley. And that's been actually really common, and it's been nice for breaking up hard banning areas and headland areas that really get compacted. So it's still very common. You don't need.
We lost you there, Mark. Must have Northwest Minnesota around the Crookston area. Son of a gun. Is he still? We just. Kind of lost Mark there for a second.
Still connected, but I think he entered the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, just the Highway 59 Twilight Zone.
You got 3 minutes. You want me to try him back, or are we going to make it?
Let's give him a holler back, see if he reestablished the connection there, because I wanted to let him brag up the other things that Agassiz Seed does. So yes, Stewardship Wednesday, this segment every week is brought to you by Agassiz Seed and Supply. And they have cover crops and been promoting cover crops and providing cover crop seed for so many years for a lot of farmers, and they are the go-to when it comes to cover crops. But they have so many different divisions, and as you drive down the highway during construction season, you know, there's two major, there's spring, summer, fall, and there's fall, winter, and road construction season. And as we go through the road construction season, you see all of the fabric and all of the different things which prevent erosion from a construction zone. And Agassiz supplies all of that. So hey, we're reestablished with Mark. We lost you there for a second. A minute.
I don't know. I must switch between cell towers there. I apologize.
Hey, that's okay. I wanted to take just a moment.
What did I miss?
I was bragging you guys up, and we've only got about six.
Oh, great. I'll hang up again. You just keep doing that.
We've got about a minute to go because you have the cover crops, just one division of Agassiz Seed and Supply. You guys have grass seed, lawn seed, landscaping, and all of the products for preventing erosion on construction sites.
Yeah, we do so many things as a wholesale company. We have distributors all over several states and locations in Mandan and Eagan and in South Dakota and Brandon. So generally, if there's something you need with seed or erosion control, we can help you out.
And odds are, if you go to the hardware store, that big barrel of grass seed comes from Agassiz. So how do you guys find more info on Agassiz Seed and Supply, Mark?
You can go online and search for Agassiz Seed or give us a call anytime at 701-282-8118.
Gotcha. Mark, thank you. Have a good time in Crookston. I know a lot of people do. So you have
it. I'm going to go to Dairy Queen. I'm excited.
Good deal. Talk to you real soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mick.
Yeah, and that's Stewardship Wednesday on Farm Talk.